Hello and welcome to the podcast. Jake here with another solo episode. So today, what are we going to work on? Well, as all things investing, there's opportunities that arise at different times for different reasons. And one has to figure out, is this actually something that I'm interested in? So as I record Monday, the 14th of July, this will go out within the next kind of 48 hours or so. We have been bashing through previously set all-time highs for Bitcoin in basically every single currency there is out there. It's an extraordinary moment to witness in real time as a Bitcoin advocate, as someone that accumulated Bitcoin. Now, you know, 2020 was when it really, really caught my attention. My mind share and the portfolio allocation, they have shifted radically since that point. And I like the phrase, where your mind goes, your money follows. Well, this is a classic example of that. And it's incredible. In 2025, up into the 120K range for Bitcoin and US dollars. And it's exactly what we predicted. And I say we, the wider Bitcoin community, and you start really plumbing into the details of like, well, why is everyone predicting the Bitcoin price is going to move the way that it is? Now, I actually thought that we'd see numbers like this about 3 or 4 years ago, and we never got that high. It's been a slower grind up, but all signals are green, green, green right now. And that's for a number of different reasons. Most of all, it's money printer go. They're about to print. It's literally been written into law in the States. The big, beautiful bill, as Mr. Donald Trump is calling it. And the crazy thing that I've seen alongside this announcement is not just the impending stimulus that will come with it. It's the fact they've got two other bills pending approval for just this year. So shout out to Larry Lepard. I finished his recent book, The Big Print. And the writing's on the wall, guys. Like, they're going to print more money. They can't not print more money. The system serves a handful of people. They're going to continue to serve themselves. It's highly predictable. The question is, what price, when? Well, no one can predict time and price. Anyone that does is wrong. And so be very, very wary of people out there predicting certain prices by certain times. What's fun, however, is to guess what might happen. But really what this boils down to is there is now a savings technology that exists. It's called Bitcoin. It's a form of sound money. Shout out to Alan Farrington, his recent episode we did. Sound money's not new. Like the ability for gold to be used as money, as a store of value. There's a history book 5,000 years long that shows why gold is an excellent form of sound money. Now, it failed for some reasons. That's not what I'm going to go into today. But Bitcoin's just another form of sound money that can exist now due to a bunch of innovations in software and mathematics. And we're just extremely fortunate to know about this thing. And so you can keep it in self-custody. And every day, I like my baby last night, not sleeping, poor little boy. I could not get him to fucking sleep. And I'm there, I'm bouncing him, I'm rocking, I'm humming. And I'm like, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. This is a waste of time. You know, I try and put him down, he'd scream, try and lie down with him, he'd scream. Fuck it, I'm going to check the Bitcoin price. And there it is, 122 and something thousand US dollars. You're like, oh my God, it's actually happening. But what people haven't necessarily understood is that the value that's accruing to Bitcoin now in dollar terms or euro terms or RMB, whatever fiat currency you measure it in, you can keep this thing in self-custody. No one can take it from you unless you give it to them. This is an extraordinary innovation when it comes to wealth management. This has never existed before. Particularly just go back to thinking about gold. Like, how did you store your gold? Well, people literally built fortresses to like hide this stuff in. So it's difficult to defend because it's a physical object. Whereas Bitcoin in cyberspace, with the importance of cryptography, it's very, very low cost to defend. And it's an extraordinary innovation. Anyway, that's not necessarily the gist of this solo episode. More just like it's a beautiful thing to see happen. Now, as someone who thinks of themselves as an investor, as someone who thinks of themselves as a capital allocator, I'm always looking for opportunities. And it's like, okay, now that I think of Bitcoin as my core reserve asset, so it's the biggest allocation in my portfolio, that will remain to be the case. I've seen purchasing power of that stack. I mean, it's a 5x, it's a 6x. Who knows where the price is going to go in the next couple of months. But at some stage, it's like, would it be interesting to start taking more risk, to take some of the quote-unquote profits off the table and reallocate into different things? Now, a traditional investment lens would 100% tell you to do that from a diversification perspective. But I really, really do put a lot of weight behind this idea of diversification. It's like, what are you buying instead of your Bitcoin? Like, in all seriousness, what are you buying instead? And unless you're extremely confident that one, it can beat the hurdle rate of Bitcoin, i.e. you can actually outpace the purchasing power progress of Bitcoin, or two, it's something you actually need in your life, medical bill, potentially a house even, or you know, taking your kids on holiday, whatever it might be, you need money for stuff, and that's okay. But one area I've been very interested in is this idea of a Bitcoin treasury company. And it's just coming to me now, like, well, the space is evolving so fast. But there's a number of reasons why I like this concept, because first of all, I'm a Bitcoin advocate. And so anything that's increasing the likelihood of Bitcoin's survival and increasing its growth rate and improving its brand and helping people adopt it, for me, that's a good thing. And so I'm willing to put my money behind that. So there's a very, very nice alignment with my kind of ethical stance on Bitcoin and helping the wider Bitcoin infrastructure be built out in order to actually defend and grow my initial and most important position, which is Bitcoin in self-custody. So what are Bitcoin treasury companies? Well, every day there's announcements about new businesses. I am going to do my best to get some founders or CEOs of Bitcoin treasury companies on the podcast. So watch this space. And I'm really interested to hear, like, why are you doing this? And something to be very wary of is it's just charlatans, like people that are out there punting shit that they know is bollocks, but they're doing it because they can make a quick buck. And, you know, just red light everywhere, big old red flag, like, don't go near these people. And it's very similar in some ways to the altcoin kind of bonanza of the last decade in a way. It's like, oh, this Bitcoin thing's good, but like, actually you want to own equity in my company because that means you can outpace the growth of Bitcoin. It's like, okay, how are you actually doing that? And why would I give up the extraordinarily low counterparty risk that I have with Bitcoin in order to own equity in a company? Now, how do you own equity? Well, it's essentially a piece of paper that's controlled by a centralized authority somewhere, whether that be the broker that you're buying it through, like an eToro or something, or a Robinhood, or the company itself. You might buy it directly, who knows? But you could get rug pulled much, much more easily than if you just have Bitcoin in self-custody. So there's an extraordinarily high counterparty risk that people must take into account when they make these investments. Not only that, yes, they're going to be regulated, okay, but what are they actually doing under the hood? Where are they taking this Bitcoin that they're supposedly accumulating? Are they actually being open with their balance sheet as to what they own? And it's in some ways a much more rigorous investment thesis to run through, akin to a traditional equity investment. So my friends who are value investors out there, they look for value through certain metrics. It's like, well, now you can start to actually analyze these businesses. Now, what have I done about this? Shout out to Mark Moss. He's going to be a core theme of this podcast today. When I met him in person in Sydney in October at the Cheat Code conference there, shout out to Danny and Pete for putting that on. The thing that I really got from him, and this is what I love investing in people. And meeting him in person and listening to him talking about the opportunity that he was working on at the time, which was a business called Matador, that was what got me over the line. It was like, okay, if Mark's in, and I know Mark from doing some coaching, and I know him from his content, and I know him from now meeting him in person, that's enough for me to take a small speculative position as a wider portfolio allocation decision. It's like, okay, I know that there's something interesting going on with this Bitcoin treasury stuff. I know that in this case, Matador was a pre-IPO deal that I got involved in. And it was a case of like, okay, well, I know that I can get in at a certain price, which was 50 cents Canadian a share. It's pre-IPO. It's immediately going to be a tradable stock. So this is not like the early stage equity stuff I talked through recently with Satlantis and Alex Fetsky, where your money's locked up for, you know, 5, 10, 15 years potentially. This is like literally a publicly traded stock. So I could sell whenever I want, which is a benefit from a liquidity perspective. It's like, ah, okay. So with that benefit of liquidity, the risk here is as long as I can find an exchange to do it through, I can actually get my money out pretty easily in theory. So that also got me over the line. So, okay, I think if this is highly speculative, but actually the liquidity risk is low because it's a publicly traded equity. Great. Okay, well, that was enough. I was like, right, Mark's in. This is an interesting area that I want to learn more about. This company looks cool. the guys building the business have a good background, and I didn't really know how financial markets functioned. Like, how does a pre-IPO actually get done? I was intrigued to be part of the process, and it's that whole process of like, learn by doing, right? Put some skin in the game, like, follow it, see what happens. The point here is you're betting on the potential of a team to build something of value, and they're going to leverage financial markets to do that, and that's where I see their core expertise. I hope that they're able to find product market fit with the financing that they get at an early stage. And with that, you'll see large equity value growth over time. So I want to dive into some of the content I'm going to run through as like an analysis. I'm just going to share my screen. All right. First of all, I said shout out to Mark. So he's a brilliant content creator who has a business model on the back end that it really functions. And I've got a huge amount still to learn from Mark. And I'd love to spend some more time figuring out how he does what he does and where I might be able to pick up from that. But this email came through. It's like, okay, the biggest gains in crypto aren't coming from crypto. Completely different market. MicroStrategy is up 1,200%. Metaplanet, 500%. Matador, 400%. It's like, whoa, these are great returns. What the hell's going on? These are Bitcoin treasury companies. Okay, well, I knew that. What does it mean? And here, a great question. This is what really caught my attention. Why do some Bitcoin treasury stocks explode and others don't? Great question, because I've built myself a small list of equities that I'm following. As I hear an announcement that this company is going to be purchasing Bitcoin or this company is going to take on a Bitcoin strategy, you can go and see the businesses that UTXO management have invested into. You can go and see, there's content you can find, essentially. And that's a good website I just cruised over, Bitcoin Treasuries Net. Basically, the traditional equity investment lens is no longer fit for purpose when it comes to Bitcoin treasury plays. And so he touches on a couple of things here. Bitcoin per share, a multiple of net asset value, and Bitcoin yield. And these are all different metrics, essentially, you look at to analyze a company and how valuable do you think it is today versus what it might be tomorrow. He puts a framework here called the FIT score. So you can go and start analyzing equities and see, okay, how does this actually fit in there? And then this is what really hit home for me about why this is interesting. So Semler Scientific, I've watched their progress from some content. I've been following the stock, and it's like, okay, well, they've bought a lot of Bitcoin, but the equity hasn't really moved. And it's like, okay, why? And Mark clearly points out it's because the market still thinks of Semler Scientific as a medical business, not a Bitcoin company. So in spite of the fact that, like, if you can see here, this thing says value per share model fit, the MicroStrategy is off the charts at 98%, according to the model he's created, whereas Semler's down here at 45%. It's like, okay, well, maybe that's why you don't see the same kind of upside from this particular equity, Semler Scientific. So he basically lays out a framework that he's created for finding the equities that he actually want to get involved in. And at the very end here, he talks about a playbook for investing in the best Bitcoin treasury companies. So, okay, cool. This is all super interesting. I want to learn more. Now, this email also came through. Again, like, it's the beauty of email marketing. You share your email with someone, you get all this value. It's quite amazing. Mark is also a partner at the Bitcoin Opportunity Fund, and he shares here a really great story. So a lesson that almost cost us millions of dollars. Let me find the title of the email. This is what got me. How I almost lost on a 7,000% winner. You're like, whoa, shit, that wouldn't be ideal if you missed that. So they invested in Metaplanet. And interestingly, within just a quarter, so 90 days, they were up 1,400%. It's like, okay, well, we've done a 14 bagger. Surely we take some money off the table here as a professionally managed fund. Exactly what they did. But then it just carried on. It's like, what the hell? It did a 7,000% return, 70 times, 70x your money. Imagine if you'd hit that Metaplanet stock just at the start. That's wild. Publicly traded equity, I might add. This is not an altcoin that's been spun up by a spurious group of people based God knows where with a bunch of marketing material that's dumped on a ton of Telegram groups that are pumping and dumping this thing for insider benefit and then rug pull. This is a publicly traded equity on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. What the hell is going on here? Now, Metaplanet did a pullback in terms of price, and they managed to buy back in at roughly the price they sold at. And because they were watching it every day, they're obviously professional investors, they were learning more and more about what they were looking for. And this particular experience is like, well, hang on. So price to earnings ratios, debt to equity, traditional cash flow, it doesn't fucking work. So what do we need to look at? And he starts talking through here why it's BTC yield, days to cover, modified net asset value, and Bitcoin torque. And so this is where his big presentation, the Bitcoin Treasury Scorecard, comes into play. Like, what are you actually going to look for in these companies? And, you know, why it's important. It's like, okay, well, Mark, you have my full attention here. This is A, something that's in line with my kind of wider Bitcoin ethos, but B, this is potentially a way to outpace the Bitcoin hurdle rate. Cool. Okay, let's learn more. So I download a scorecard. I 100% you guys go out and do this. Now, this is a pretty big document that I'm not going to go through in specific detail here because it's not the moral of the story. It's like, this is great learning, right? I, as a retail investor sitting at home with my own money going, what do I do to maximize my purchasing power potential? And it's like, of course, I'm looking at different opportunities. Like, why wouldn't you, right? And this works really nicely because, as I've already touched on, I love this blend of A, the Bitcoin focus, but B, the low liquidity risk, because you're not locking your money up. It's a publicly traded equity. It's like, if something goes wrong, you should be able to get your money out. Now, go and download the report. Basically, it's dense. There's lots of great stuff in there. It's really important. What's it all leading to? It's like, why would Mark give away all of this free information? And it's because he's going to launch a fund. Ah, okay. Now we get to the nitty gritty of it. So what does this mean? It's like, well, obviously you could potentially invest in the fund. So this is just a bit of information about what Mark puts out for the fund. So I mean, again, I highly recommend people go and look at this. With the Bitcoin Opportunity Fund, it's a public market fund and private market fund investing at multiple stages. I don't have money in that fund, to be very clear. I looked at it, but I haven't been allocating into any funds. So I mentioned also Alan, who came on the show recently, Axiom, decided not to put money into their fund. And it's really because I think what I've always got value from is trying to use my own capital for my own learning processes. If I pay someone with a fund, a management fee to allocate capital for me, it feels at this stage like I'm kind of losing out the learning potential that's there. Saying that, the flip side is I really love my podcast and I want to absolutely focus on that as much as possible. And so is this stuff just a distraction from creating content and the podcast? Maybe. So I'm still kind of playing with that one, right? It's like, why not give the money to someone that you know has a good track record, is going to make some great bets. They might fail, but like, you have a high probability in your mind that this person is of high integrity and they will do their best possible job to maximize value for your money. Then, you know, basically I'm still working through it is the point. To come back to this pitch deck, like the Quantum Wave Fund, he's calling it, and it's very simple. He's looking at this like this Bitcoin treasury model. It's like, how do we actually do this and what are the opportunities here? So here's some more details on the actual fund, how it will work, and who's going to be involved, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this information also came with the fact that there's two deals that they're working on that are time sensitive that require funding soon in order to achieve maximum possible return, and therefore the fund's looking to close in literally like 10 days. And I think what's interesting here to talk through is, I'll go back to the beginning just to hover it there, is people are extremely good at marketing, and you have to be very, very careful not to get scooped up in the whole euphoria of it. And after thinking about this for a day or so, what I realized is, like I just touched on before, I want to maximize my potential to learn. And I think that the best way to do that is to actually invest your own money. And so I need to sit down and I need to study that Bitcoin Treasury scorecard inside out. And then I need to go and build a system that helps me choose which companies to go after. Now, that's going to be more work and will require time. But I think that's going to be where the best ROI actually is. Now, the other thing is, I took a bit of a deep breath. I'm like, where are we at? Okay, well, we're actually probably within 10 to 12, maybe 20 weeks at most of setting this particular Bitcoin bull market's top position. It's all-time high, the new all-time high. Now, we're at $120,000-ish US dollars today. Where could it go? Well, in my opinion, it could go 170, 180K quite happily. Now, there are people out there that are talking over 400K. Wild. Let's see what happens. But there's no place I feel more confident than somewhere, than being in Bitcoin self-custody. It just, it crunches away. It's incredible. And I'm like, okay, well, now's not really the time as we move into the like euphoria stage of this market where it's going to do 120, it can do 130, it's going to do 140, 150. Suddenly you're going to be getting tons of phone calls from all your mates. Like, oh, mate, should I buy? Should I buy? And that's actually exactly the time where the smart money takes, all right, now we're getting a bit frothy. We probably want to take a bit of crust off the table here. And so in my opinion, these Bitcoin treasury companies, and this I've been saying for quite some time now, they are a really interesting mixture of TradFi. So they can issue equity. They can issue debt. They can use all the financial engineering in the world to create a yield, right? And that is a really amazing piece of modern business in a sense. Like it's a profession, right? It's an expertise. And you can invest in that expertise and get a return. Wonderful. But what they're piggybacking on is the surge in purchasing power and the market cap of Bitcoin itself. And so if I buy into a Bitcoin treasury company now, in 3 months' time, we set an all-time high, and then we're going to just, in my view, like I don't see why the cycles we've witnessed thus far, why would they disappear? I have no good reason to think that they wouldn't. And I think with that, you'll see Bitcoin treasury companies, they'll kind of behave in a way like altcoin frenzy that we saw in previous cycles, where the dumb money is just piling in with everything they've got just as the market's getting it. It's most fucking crazy. And they buy stupid positions that are completely overvalued in things that aren't real. Now, is there going to be some genuine innovation in Bitcoin treasury companies? Yes. Are there going to be some great companies to invest in out there? Yes. Is this a seismic shift in the way that business is actually done, in the way that business is actually built? Yes. But is now the right time to jump in? I came to the conclusion, no. It's like, Jake, just calm down, mate. You've done brilliantly. You're sitting on 4, 5, 6x on your position you entered into just a couple of years ago, 2021, 2022, early 2023. So just chill your beans, mate. Don't get overexcited. Don't let your ego run around saying, oh, you got to buy this, you got to buy that. It's like, you know, the shiny object problem. You know, people get distracted by that all the time. Now, will there be Bitcoin treasury companies of value over the next decade? Yes. Will they outpace Bitcoin? Yes. When do you want to actually look at buying these things? Well, I think a very smart time is going to be when valuations fall off a cliff as the Bitcoin market itself retraces and retrenches and finds a new normal to step up from again. So let's say we get to the 150, the 180K, the $200,000 per coin. I would be completely unsurprised if we end up back at 100, even 80, 90K. But that's then the base, right? And the previous bear was when old Sam Bankman-Fried, the complete scam artist, created FTX and the price dropped down to 15, 16,000 US. So those are that's why when you look at the Bitcoin chart, it's so incredible because it's making higher highs and higher lows. And so the next bear, 2026-ish, we get back down to a 90, 80K potentially. And look, these are numbers I'm just throwing out, for example, now. That's a huge amount better base to be working from than 15 grand, right? And that's what's going on here. Let's say it gets down to low 100K, so 115K. So the bear market bottoms of 15 to 115K, big difference, right? Anyway, where am I going with all this? I got really excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to invest in Mark's fund. And I thought, hang on, hold your horses, mate. Now, I don't think now's the right time. If anything, this announcement, although it's true that there's been extraordinary gains thus far in these Bitcoin treasury stocks, and yes, Mark does make a good point that the capital that's infoed so far is minuscule compared to what potentially could arrive, I think we've probably only got a 3 to 4 month window here before the whole market blows off and then we grind down. And I just do not see how these Bitcoin treasury companies can keep their heads above Bitcoin, the hurdle rate, whilst the market kind of chugs back down. Now, a couple of things I just wanted to run through, which were interesting, is if I look at first we'll take Bitcoin as the base case. So December 2024 through to now, July 2025, we've gone from 104,000 US up to 120. So that's a 15% gain. Now, in the same time frame, Matador IPO'd at 50 cents a share back before December 24, but just to take the same time frame, a 55% uptick. It was as high at one point as $1.80. So if you've been really hyper vigilant on this position, you might have actually taken some profit at the $1.80. Just gone, yeah, screw it. You know what? I'm going to take a 3 or 4x here and just I'm out with my money now. And that's in some ways what I see these Bitcoin treasury companies becoming. If you're a smart speculator and you can jump between the two, as you know, an equity position is going to run faster than Bitcoin itself for a period of time. And then you can jump back into Bitcoin when that actually happens. Hell yeah, that's a really smart bit of work. But I think where I'm going to get to is a preference for longer term horizon, investing in people and betting that they can create more value than what the Bitcoin hurdle rate will actually be. So with that, I hope you found that an interesting breakdown as to what's actually going on and the opportunity that Mark is representing. I 100% recommend you go and take a greater look at his Quantum Wave Fund and what he's building. Also, the Bitcoin Opportunity Fund, his partners there are top class what they're doing. I haven't made the decision to invest in these businesses yet or these funds because of my preference to essentially invest in myself and figure it out myself. But as I touched on before, there could well be a case that my time gets so stretched. Actually, I want to make an allocation to Bitcoin treasury companies and I want someone out there that's picking the best possible ones. Boom, here's some money. Or equally, I want to invest in some Bitcoin related startup businesses. I don't have the time to do it. I want to give it to someone who I know is going to buy the best possible companies they can. Boom, here's an allocation. And maybe that's just a more sophisticated approach that I get to in the future. But for now, I was like, oh, okay, chill your beans, Jake. This is exactly what we hope Bitcoin would do. Here it is happening right in front of our eyes. And I mean, the retail market still hasn't woken up. You look at all of the search metrics on Google and stuff. It's crazy. We've just crunched through 120 grand and no one's even really talking about it. So with that, I hope you're having a wonderful day. My name's Jake. Get in touch. Hi@jakewoodhouse.io. If you find this stuff interesting and you have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much.